we do not deserve intro music this time around. Those Saturday picks were absolute garbage. Just
yeah, they didn't work out so well.
If you listened to us, you probably did it. You probably weren't too happy. I mean, I listened to
my
myself.
My last week's picks weren't that good either. Ugh.
Yeah, it's been tough there. Some guy called us out on Reddit and said that they were literal garbage, and I agreed with him. It's true. They were bad. Yeah, you win some, you lose some, whatever. Plus, like we've said so many times, those Saturday episodes feel like straight speculation so often. It's nuts. Okay, so moving on to today. Finally, a full week, which hasn't happened in forever because of bye weeks and then the All-Star game and all that kind of fun stuff. So one of the first full weeks, a lot of teams are playing four games, which is good. So first, we're going to review the weekend, and after that, we'll move into previewing the week and getting you ready to start to go towards the playoffs. So I'll start with my weekend review, and my best players. I'm going to start with Evgeny Malkin. Two games played, three goals, two assists, plus three, two PIMs, two power play points, and seven shots on goal. What a week for him. Did it cross-eyed and all. Eric Staal, two games played, two goals, one assist, two power play points, four shots on goal. Not bad out of him. A little disappointed I traded him, but in fairness, he was always benched, and Wayne Simmonds is doing pretty well, too. Cam Atkinson.
Peripherals aren't amazing either.
No, not really. Cam Atkinson, I think he's been back four games now since his injury or something like that, I think.
Yeah, he has a point in every one of them.
Yep. So this weekend he had two games played, one goal, one assist, a plus one, and 13 shots on goal. He's been shooting a ton since coming back. Peter Mrazek, two games played, one win, one loss, a 9.43 save percentage, and a 2.00 goals against average. Really helping his trade value there.
Yep. For me, I've got Jeff Petrie first up. Two games played, three goals, plus two, eight shots. All three goals are on the power play. One hit and eight blocks. Hits are actually a little low for him, but the shots are high, so I'll take it. Phil Kessel next up. Two games played, two goals, two assists, plus two, and five shots on goal. Then we had Jake Muzzin, who only played one game but put up one goal, two assists, plus three, two shots, one power play point, one shorthanded point, three hits, and one block. So if you count shorties, you're really happy to have Muzzin this past weekend. And then lastly here, Travis Konecny. Also only played one game, but got three assists in it. Plus two, two shots, and four hits.
So that was the only start suggestion I got right, I think.
I didn't even review mine. I just noticed when Perry scored, I'm like, everything's going wrong.
Yeah, when Toffoli
got a
point,
I benched Perry. So if you bench Perry, whatever. He also got 12 PIMs.
Jesus. I benched Patches, and that was bad, too. Everyone that we said, I benched Marner, I benched Patches, I benched Toffoli. It was just bad. I still won my weeks. Actually, one of my weeks I lost, and I probably would have won if I wouldn't have listened to myself. I'm getting close to falling out of playoffs in that one. Okay, moving on to least impressive teams and players. Sergei Bobrovsky is my first one here. One game played, one loss, an 8.93 save percentage on 3.11 goals against average. His performances continue to be a little lackluster. He hasn't really been able to find a groove for a while now, and it's getting a little bit concerning, both for fantasy owners and real-life Columbus Blue Jacket fans.
They're in trouble now.
They are, and Zach Werenski also makes this list. Two games played, minus one, five shots on goal. I mean, the only thing really helping him here is that the Rangers and the Isles also don't want to win, so that's helping him out a little bit. But otherwise, I think if the Isles or the Rangers were extremely competitive here, they'd be in deep trouble, but I think they'll be okay.
I did call that back in like November, December, by the way.
You did call that where they'd start to flounder, mostly because of Bobrovsky.
We get decent calls once in a while, just not Saturday.
Saturdays are bad. Maybe we should just kill it and sleep instead. Improve our midweek ones. Justin Schultz is my last one. Two games played and only three shots on goal. I dropped him a long time ago and have not regretted it one bit.
All right, for me, I have Ryan Miller here, who's got pushed into the spotlight due to Gibson's injury. Honestly, I think he's one of the better backups in the league, but not this weekend. Did I tell people to start him? Oh, God, I think I might have.
I think you did.
Anyway, one game played, 5.71 save percentage. He gave up, I think, like six goals or something.
Something
in, like,
that.
Not a lot of time. And no, it wasn't that many. It was four. or three. But anyway, 17.62 goal against average on the weekend. Yeah, sorry. I mean, how was I supposed to know? It was Montreal, but anyway.
Yeah, who knew they were going to score like four goals in the first period?
Yeah. Next up, Mike Green. Had one of the hottest starts. Everybody's like, he's back. That's gone now, I think. I think everybody can agree that it's gone now.
Gone.
Although he's still like 60-something percent owned. Two games played, no points, -2, one shot, one hit, and five blocks. So the only thing you'd be happy about is blocks if you count them, which you probably don't for most leagues anyway. Then last up here, Alexander Wenberg, somebody we've been talking about who just hasn't quite got it there, although he's in the right position to succeed yet. Two games played, no points, -1, two shots, one hit, and two blocks. And you know with Wenberg comes crappy peripherals, so kind of got to wait for him to start turning it on points-wise.
Yep, no peripherals there, but last year where he was a winner was assists. I think I had him, and that was like the biggest win. He would win you assists every single week pretty much single-handedly, but not doing that this year. So moving into previewing the week, we'll start with our top targets and who we think you should keep an eye on for long-term more than anything. This week, they're a little highly owned. The reason for that is just I wasn't a huge fan of many of the low-owned options this week just because it's getting thin out there. The free age, the waiver wire is getting real thin, and it's going to get tougher. We'll try to find some low-value guys, but it gets hard. So for this week, I'll start with Cam Atkinson, more as like a watch and probably worth it. Cam Atkinson, 51% owned on Yahoo, 53.4% on ESPN. It might be worth grabbing him. He's all about momentum. We learned that last year, and he's on a roll right now. And if that continues and he keeps shooting, I could see this being a thing. And he's top line or top power play second line, so he has opportunities to score. And if he starts getting going, I mean, if you look at how their roster is composed, who do you go to score points? They're going to be looking at Artemi Panarin and Cam Atkinson. If they could have both of those guys on fire and on all cylinders, they'd love that. So they're going to want Cam Atkinson to get going, especially for a playoff run. So something interesting could be happening there. Marcus Ward Vlasic, the 45% owned on Yahoo and 34.9% on ESPN, so a little bit of a discrepancy there. He's been playing significantly better as of late. He's getting around 20 to 25 minutes a game and shooting as well. His last seven games, he has 6 points, 10 pims, one power play point, 16 shots on goal, two hits, and a massive 25 blocks. He's the top pairing, but the second power play pairing. Now, what makes him interesting to me is his minutes. You can't find those minutes in a 35% owned guy very often. And I think that's kind of one of those. I would drop, for example, Mike Green for Marcus Ward Vlasic, just because I think he's in a better situation, a better team.
I still don't like Vlasic, but
I don't either, but I think if you're in a bangers league, especially where you count blocks, you count hits. Well, not hits, but you count blocks, you count shots. He's on a power play. He's on a pretty good power play, decent. And
when I checked left wing lock's game day, it didn't show him on the power play when I last looked. But
that's weird.
Maybe they've changed something, or maybe they're going back and forth with him. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. I checked it last night, and he was on a power play on the second. But maybe he just didn't get much time or something. But yeah, no,
yeah,
I like
him. Not showing him there, but I don't know. Maybe he's obviously playing some power play. If he's getting points,
yeah,
power play. So
I feel like he's a good replacement for like a Mike Green type guy. Although Mike Green might get traded, it might increase his value. That'll be interesting. And lastly, a guy who, I didn't scroll down far enough. I have two guys. Second to last, Travis Konecny, 39% owned on Yahoo, 28% on ESPN. Screw the top power play. I give up on waiting for that. Just grab him. This has Couturier 2.0 written all over it, and I want a part of it. I have him in two leagues. I really think he's worth it, especially if you're in a points league. If you're in a points league, this guy is very, very worth it right now. And I expect him to shoot up very, very quickly from these percentages. And especially if you're on ESPN, apparently people are sleeping on him on ESPN. I don't know why, but they are. And lastly, now the real lastly, Alexander Edler. He's 25% on Yahoo, 31.9% on ESPN. We've talked about him quite a bit on this podcast. I think when we talked about him the first time, I mentioned him when he had just come back from injury at around 1%. Then Brandon mentioned him again around 5% and then 10%. And now he's at 25% and 31%. So he's getting there. He's a peripheral machine. 7 games played, 4 assists, a minus 6. So if you count plus minus, that kind of sucks, but whatever. 10 PIMs, 3 power play points, 22 shots on goals, 16 hits, and 14 blocks. He's on the top power play and the top pairing. So another one of those guys that, look, if you have a guy like Mike Green or a slumping defenseman, there's options out there. There's Jeff Petrie. There's Alexander Edler. There's Marc-Edouard Vlasic. And you'll talk more about Petrie, but, like, it's not defenseman right now. There's surprisingly a good option for your, like, third or fourth defenseman right now.
Yep, especially in bangers leagues.
Yep.
All right, for me, first up, I feel like this is going to happen again, like I did at the beginning of the season, where I mention Evgeny Dadonov for every episode until he goes over 50%. he's not quite at the level he was at the beginning of the season. I think that might have to do with Huberto not being on the top line. But he is on the top line with Barkov and Bukestad. And Bukestad's no slouch himself, although he's no Huberto. But he's top line, top power play on a team that can score with one of the better centers in the game. So give him a look. He's 22% owned. He's probably available in your league. I know both Gambia and I are eyeing him right now. So for me, it's just I don't really have the room, so I don't know what I'm going to do there. But
you want to know something crazy? What? On ESPN, he's 51.3% owned.
Jeez.
So 51.3% on ESPN, 22% on Yahoo.
That is a massive discrepancy.
It's huge. Why? I don't know. But that is huge.
Yeah, this isn't like a bangers league thing either, because he doesn't give you bangers stuff for the most part.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah. Huh. Anyway, tell me what Brendan Gallagher's is, because maybe it's the bangers leagues on Yahoo and they don't have bangers on... I don't even know how this makes any sense. I guess that would make Gallagher highly owned on Yahoo and not on ESPN?
Nope, he's 34.9% on ESPN.
Well, he's 48 on Yahoo, so... yeah, I guess Yahoo are the leagues that care a little bit more about hits and peripherals than the average ESPN league, perhaps. Maybe that's why Dadonov is higher owned in ESPN and lesser owned on Yahoo, because he doesn't have those extra peripherals. Anyway,
yeah.
Brendan Gallagher, 48% owned. It's kind of highly owned. Apparently it's less so in ESPN, so maybe you listen to this there. He's on a decent second line and on top power play, and he always puts up good peripherals. So bear that in mind. He's definitely worth a look in a lot of leagues, especially lately. And lastly here, Jeff Petrie, 21% owned on Yahoo. He's still good until Weber returns. He's been really good lately. As we mentioned, 3 power play goals this past weekend. He had a 3-point game a few games ago before that. So he has been on fire lately. And he does put up a lot of banger stats to go with his point production lately.
Yeah, and actually one thing I found, there is one really big difference. And I think I found why there's such a huge discrepancy. It's sad that this is why. I think what it is, one uses RotoWorld for their news. The other uses RotoWire. So, I think if you listen to one or the other and you look at the news, it's going to tell you different stories. If I remember correctly, at the peak of it, RotoWorld was far less optimistic in coverage of Evgeny Dadonov, whereas RotoWire was... there's like heaped praise on Dadonov, so that could be it. I don't know. I might be stretching a little bit, but yeah. Okay, so moving on to the week's best matchups: San Jose at Anaheim on Sunday. I like that a lot. I think it's going to be a really big game for Anaheim. They're continuing their improbable push for the playoffs, which I still don't think they're going to do, but they're trying. Chicago at Minnesota on Saturday. This one's a huge game for Chicago. Mind you, they meet in the playoffs all the time, so this should have a playoff-like atmosphere. Unless Minnesota is just like, these guys aren't even in the playoffs, why should we care about them? And don't really make it like a playoff game. Vegas Golden Knights at Pittsburgh on Tuesday. Fleury returns home. I'm very, very curious to see what the reaction is at Pittsburgh. I think they're going to love him. Everyone there seems to love him. And then Washington...
I hope they shut Pittsburgh out, though. That'd be nice.
That would be awesome. That'd be nice. Although Pittsburgh's firing on all cylinders, so we'll see what happens. The Washington-Columbus home-and-home is going to be interesting. That's Tuesday and Thursday. Both of these teams are... Like, Washington's been good, but I haven't been convinced. And Columbus, on the other hand, is kind of, like I said, floundering. So that's going to be a very interesting series, I think, that home-and-home, which happens Tuesday at Columbus and then Thursday at Washington.
Us as New York area fans are definitely hoping for the Washington sweep in this one, though, as it gives the Rangers and the Islanders a chance back in, essentially. But it also there's a lot of fans rooting for Columbus to get swept here. Carolina, Philadelphia, Islanders, Rangers, pretty much everybody except for Columbus that's in the Metro.
Yep.
All right. For me, I like Ottawa, Toronto on Friday. I come to these matchups a lot. I really like that, like, Battle of Canada.
Don Cherry would like you.
I bet. I also like the Golden Knights at Pittsburgh game. And then I also like the Bossnet Rangers game on Wednesday. That should be a fun one. Despite Boston not being in our division, they feel more like a division rival than a lot of the teams do. So anytime they come into town, it's worth watching. All right, moving into notable players potentially returning from injury. I've got a lot of question marks here because there's just some guys that seem like probably coming back sooner. There's just not a lot of details on them. First one up would be John Gibson. They haven't given any real timetable, but they continue to talk about him as a day-to-day. So I'm assuming he's going to come back sometime this week, but I don't really know. Sort of the same thing goes with Antti Raanta. He's traveling with the team. He has an upper body injury, but don't really know the extent of it. Seems like sooner than later he'll be back, but this is kind of speculation on my point. Then we've got Brad Marchand coming back from a suspension during the week. Cam Talbot is coming back from a bad virus. I'm guessing he has the flu. I don't know. Then Alec Martinez coming back from a lower body injury, probably. Philip Forsberg is going to miss 3 of their 4 games and then be back at the end of the week from a suspension for elbowing people. Don't elbow people.
Yeah.
Both those guys are out for elbowing people, I think, actually. So it's kind of funny. Then I think Mark Stone's coming back, which will be very good for Ottawa if he does. Coming back from knee stuff. It seems like he's coming back sometime this week, but they haven't really given like a firm time yet. Then Brian Elliott, Philadelphia goaltender, appears to be on the mend and coming back sometime this week. I think they're trying to start him tomorrow. Patrick Hornquist is next up. Here's a question mark again, lower body injury. Don't really know. They're still calling him day to day. He may be back next game. He may be back next week. Don't really know, but it seems like sooner than later. So that's why he's on the list. And then lastly here, Mark Scheifele. Probably coming back from an upper body injury. They have him slated to come back on the 9th. So that does put him firmly within this week. That'll be big for them if he comes back.
That'd be huge. I have him on my IR. I'm really excited for him to come back because I'm in a game where I only have a 1-point lead on the next guy. And if I lose that lead, I miss the playoffs. So that'll be fun. Okay, moving on to week-long pickup suggestions. We're the only person to do the podcast last Monday. So how about you take us through and just kind of call yourself out on how you did?
Yep. First up, I mentioned Tomas Hertl. Last week, he had 4 games played. He got 3 assists, -1, 8 shots, 3 power play points, 1 hit, and 4 blocks. So that was pretty good, but that was my only good one. Then I mentioned 2 Carolina players because they had all the off days. I was hoping they can capitalize on that. For a fantasy perspective. So even if they had like mediocre numbers, they would still be worth having if you had the extra position for them. Unfortunately, Jordan Staal, he wasn't that bad, but just the peripherals weren't there, except for hits. 4 games played, he had 2 assists, +1, 2 PIMs, 4 shots, and 6 hits. So he was okay for a guy that you only play on the... I was hoping he'd be a better longer-term option, but he's been kind of inconsistent in general. And then lastly here, Elias Lindholm. He had 4 games played, 1 assist, -4, and 4 shots. So that was just flat out bad. But I think he may have gotten moved down to the 4th line.
Something like that.
Yeah, he got moved down to the 4th line like 2 games in. So there's only so much I could have known about that with Teravainen coming back and being back on the top line.
Clearly,
it was Aho that came back and then everything got shaken up. Yep. That's what happened. Yep. And I actually mentioned that. I was like, if Aho comes back, he could be in trouble.
Yeah, so I listened to you.
Maybe I saved myself a little bit. Oh, did you?
Yeah, I did.
No, at least you got the off days. I don't know.
Yeah, I got the off days. I got some points. That's okay. I think I had him for the 2 games. He had assist.
Making more predictions that hopefully are a little bit better this time.
Hopefully. We'll start first, though, just by giving you facts. I'd give you the teams that have 4 or more games and 2 or less games. So the teams with 4 or more games are going to be Anaheim, Boston, Buffalo, Calgary, Colorado, Dallas, Edmonton, Nashville, the Devils, the Islanders, the Rangers, the Flyers, the Sharks, the Blues, and the Canucks. Why I always switch from city name to team name in the middle, I'll never know, but I do.
I do. It's because you get to New York and you have to specify at that point.
That's true. That's why. There you go. I forgot about that. Okay, then teams with two or less games is going to be Florida and Montreal. And teams that play off days, these are guys that have good schedules. It's going to be Anaheim first, who plays Monday, Tuesday, Friday, and Sunday. So the Tuesday slate is heavy, but the Friday, Sunday, not so much. Neither is Monday. Edmonton, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. But it should be noted that I think they have the hardest schedule of the week. And I don't think there's really much of a competition. They play Tampa, the Kings, the Ducks, and the Sharks. So you got Tampa Bay, and then you've got three divisional rivals back-to-back. So that's going to be fun. And then the Islanders play Monday, Thursday, Friday, and Sunday. And lastly here, the Rangers, who have easily the best fantasy schedule of the week. They're playing Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. So rested every day and all off days.
Yep. Dallas is also playing Monday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday, so they're an option as well.
Oh,
although, as we say about Dallas, there's usually not a lot of options, although you'll discuss one here in a second.
Yep, Esa Lindell is my first one, 24% on Yahoo and 24% on ESPN. No discrepancies. It's a miracle. Top pairing, second power play here. Second, 6 games played, 2 goals, 3 assists. So that's 5 points in 6 games. Not bad. A plus 5, 6 PIMs, 2 power play points, 10 shots on goal, 6 hits, and 13 blocks. You don't get much in the peripheral department there, but you're hoping to get points out of him. So in a points league, he's especially worth it. And then in a bangers league, he's if you have the spot, I guess. It depends on what you need.
13 blocks aren't bad.
13 blocks aren't bad. That's not terrible. But, you know, I think if you're looking at the same ownership percentage, I'd rather have Edler. Or I'd rather have Mark Edward Vlasic, if he's available.
Or Petrie, yeah.
Or Petrie, yeah. Like, there's better, but I do like Esa Lindell this week just because of the off days. Mika Zibanejad is another one. This one has a big discrepancy. 44% owned on Yahoo, 68% on ESPN. He's top line, top power play. It's the only problem I have with Zibanejad and any Ranger right now is just that there's no consistency. And especially now, they might have Mark Stahl out. They might have they have Pavel Buchnevich out. They also have Jimmy Vesey out for who knows how long, and Vesey was on the top line. So who knows what's going to happen there? But the only person that we know for sure is a lock is Mika Zibanejad, and he's not as owned on Yahoo as he is on ESPN. Another center I have here is Nolan Patrick, 7% owned on Yahoo, 9.5% on ESPN. He's centering a very good second line between Voracek and Simmons. He's on a decent second power play, which features Konechny. So I do like his second power play, but I think the bigger option here is because of that even strength line. In his last 3 games, I narrowed it down from the 7 that everyone else is getting, because if you go past really 3 games, he hasn't been on the top on that second line. So I didn't want to go back to the point where, okay, his stats don't look good because he was on a third or fourth line. Through 3 games played, he had 2 goals, 1 assist, a plus 2, 4 PIMs, 7 shots on goal, 2 hits, and 1 block. So his peripherals are not great, but the points are good. So like I said, yep. good option for points leagues solely because of, I think, where he's playing on even strength.
Yep. All right, for me, Rick Nash, first up, 43% on Yahoo. I think it's a great week to have him with the off days. They're going to have to rely on him more with all the injuries anyway. So he's gonna have more opportunities whether he wants to or not. So, I like Nash this week. Next up, Jacob Silverberg, who seems to be showing up on this more and more lately. 35% owned on Yahoo. He's probably a good option as long as he's playing with Getzlav and Raquel. He's not top power play, which is a little annoying, but he might get moved there at some point. I definitely expect him to be there over Henrique sooner than later, but
yep,
hasn't happened yet. And then if Perry gets moved back up, Silverberg's probably going to dip in value as soon as he gets moved off that top line. But for now, I like him. And especially with their schedule being pretty good this week, it's a great time to try him out. Same goes for the Islanders, Anthony Beauvillier, 24% owned on Yahoo. They've got 4 games to play on 3 off days. And they're playing decently beatable teams. Detroit's in there. Nashville's the hardest matchup, I think. I actually don't remember who their other... They had one other easy... let me take a look. They had one other easy matchup. It's Buffalo. So they play Nashville at home, then Buffalo away, then Detroit, then Calgary, who's also not horrible. So there's definitely points to be had there. He can also turn into a longer-term play, potentially. Unfortunately, he's almost certainly not going to see top power play, as their top power play is almost completely locked up, unless they start playing like five forwards or something insane. So he's going to be stuck to more even strength points, as their second power play unit is like just okay. But I think there's still value there.
Yeah, especially him being on the top line now. That's super interesting.
Well, second, but...
No, they moved him up to the top last game.
Did they?
Yeah, he skated with Bailey and Tavares.
Okay.
So it's interesting. Hmm. They shook it up a little bit. I don't know if that's going to stick. I guess we'll find out in the morning skate, but that makes him even more interesting to me. I didn't put him on here because I knew you'd take him, but I think he's a very, very interesting option if he stays on that top line.
I'd honestly rather him play on the second line.
True.
He and Barzal have very good chemistry. I kind of think it's a strange decision for them to move him up as opposed to somebody else.
Yeah.
But whatever.
It'll be interesting. I mean, Lee, I think, moves down to that second line now. So let's see if Lee and Barzal can find chemistry. That'd be good for Lee.
Yeah. He's been good anyway, though.
Yeah, that's true. Moving on to our picks for tonight. I'll start with Victor Arvidsson at the Islanders because the Islanders can't stop the puck. Ricard Raquel at Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
He's been on fire, and Toronto's good, but they can let in a few goals, and they can get into some shootouts. And then lastly here in net, Ben Bishop versus the Rangers. The Rangers have a lot of injuries right now. I don't know what the team is. I just don't think they're going to score a lot of goals here, and I think Ben Bishop is the best option tonight for a win.
Yep. I'm going to go pretty chalky as far as my picks here. Nikita Kucherov at Edmonton I like a lot. Andre Vasilevsky at Edmonton I like a lot. And Matthew Barzal versus Nashville. And then I'm going to jump right into my values here. I basically like whoever is going to wing the top line in Nashville. I think it's going to be Cale Yarncroke, but I'm totally guessing. They haven't announced anything at all. The other option would probably be Scott Hartnell. I doubt they break up the Fiala, Turris, Smith line. I think that's going to stick together. So if I were coaching there, it would be Yarncroke, but we'll see. Next up, I also like Kevin Fiala and Kyle Turris, all at the Islanders. Reasons you already mentioned, they let in a lot of goals. And those guys are very, very good value plays. So, especially yep. Yarncroke. If he gets top line, he's like an absolute steal.
Yeah. I mean, and he's shown that he can score on the top line too, which is nice. I mean, yeah, I like all those picks. Mitch Marner versus the Ducks. I like him quite a bit tonight just because of his price. He's so cheap. And the Ducks, I mean, I think they still have Ryan Miller in net, right?
I don't know.
We'll see.
So, Leveling Lock is actually projecting Gibson. They're probably going to play Miller, but they last game after Miller got yanked, they played Rito Berra, which is hopefully they don't have to do that, but he's the other option, so it gets worse.
Well, if they've got to play either one, I especially like Mitch Marner. And I also like Morgan Rielly, who on defense, we've seen what he can do. We saw what Jake Gardner did in his position, and so now Morgan Rielly gets to take that spot back, and I like what he can do, and he's so cheap. And then lastly, another defenseman here, Esa Lindell, who I already talked about, versus the Rangers. I think that the Dallas Stars will be able to score an even strength tonight. And so the hope is that Esa Lindell can get in on that action. That's such a cheap option. I think the hope that he might get in on an even strength goal in the top pairing is a good one. And that is it. So we will see you on Wednesday for the unsustainable episode. Well, now it's like the unsustainable sustainable episode. And other than that, have a good week. Good luck getting into the playoffs.
Yep. Thanks for listening, everybody.